Now it's Food Friday, and this week we're going to Pie Camp. Our next guest has been baking pies for decades and made just about every type of pie you can think of, and she's proven it with her books. She's here with some tips on how to get it right, or at least close, every time. And I'm here to testify as well with my, I think, the best old-fashioned apple pie is a recipe from our guest, but I made it pretty good. We'll want to hear from you this afternoon as we talk about pie and your pie stories at 1-800-642-1234. What's your favorite type of pie to bake or to eat? Are they the same or different? Is there a fruit you look forward to being in season every year for that pie? You like cream or custard? What makes it for you and why? With pies this afternoon at 1-800-642-1234. And yes, we will talk about the crust as well. And you can chime in on our Facebook page if you choose. Kate McDermott is a baker, teacher, author of several books, and the host of Real Pie Camps. Her books include the James Beard Award-nominated Art of the Pie. Her latest book is Pie Camp, the skills you need to make any pie you want. You can follow her work at artofthepie.com. And Kate, thank you so much for joining us today.
Well, Lee, it's a pleasure to be here. I always love to talk about my favorite subject, which I know you know what it is.
Well, why is it your favorite subject? And as I was thinking about what it was for pies, to me, it boils down to my grandma and my great aunt and the way their house smelled when you'd walk in. And it would smell like cinnamon and apples, and it smelled like home.
It does. I think there is something that is so unique to pie that it is so much more than just a list of ingredients. The most important ingredient that we put into that pie pan with everything is love. And I think love consists of all these memories. It's not just that flavor of the perfect apple pie. It's the flavor of our lives.
Mm. So for you, how far back does pie go? What are your memories like?
Oh, my goodness. That's opening a big, big chapter there. I have been baking since I was a little girl. My grandmother was the pie maker in our family. We called her Gigi. And she could whip out pies without even thinking. She had been raised on an Iowa farm. She was the youngest of five daughters. And she would just come to the counter. I lived in a multi-generational home. She lived with us. And, you know, it was like, can you make a pie? Well, you know, there they were. It just was something that I learned, like you would learn to, you know, like, okay, we're going to brush our teeth now. We're going to make a pie. That's just life.
Pie is life. I absolutely appreciate that. And that seems to come to bear with your new book, Pie Camp, as you have three rules of pie making and life. Number one, keep everything chill, especially yourself. Duly noted. Number two, keep your boundaries. I get that. And number three, vent. Rather philosophical,
yes.
Kate.
Oh, well, thank you very much. You know, the subtitle of my first book that did receive the James Beard nomination, it's Art of the Pie, A Practical Guide to Homemade Crusts, Fillings, and Life.
Yes.
And one of my alter ego is I am the Piechiatrist, and she does answer questions both about pie and life. So how can I help you today, Lee?
Well, let's start with the crust, which I thought you made very easy for me, somebody who has not made crust before, but has certainly purchased it in the aisle at the grocery store. So for you, it's really simple. It's about flour, salt, and fat, but it's what you do with that and the temperature you bring it that matters, right?
Yes, I think rule number one, which is to keep everything chilled, yeah, especially yourself, is to keep all those ingredients cool. Butter starts melting or getting soft at 59 degrees, and you don't want to have greasy, greasy butter when you're working with your flour. So you do want to have things a little chilled, and that includes your environment and your hands. If you have hot hands, well, maybe hold some ice cubes and chill out a little bit. You could always hold a margarita that's iced also.
From the Piechiatrist, your recommendation. But if I'm not mistaken, our guest is Kate McDermott, and she is the author of Pie Camp. We'd be interested from you this afternoon to hear what your pie stories might be and why pie is home to you, or as she puts it, pie is life. Twist on a Ted Lasso quote. And as we are talking about the crust, I should mention that I tried the best old-fashioned apple pie recipe from Kate McDermott last night. I brought in a piece for our engineer, Tyler Ditter, this afternoon. He's kind enough not to eat it in front of me so I don't get the instant review. But it was relatively easy, and it was simple. And as long as you keep it simple, like I did not... Here's the thing that I just realized for the first... I did not cut the peels off the apples last night when I put it in the apple pie, per Kate's recommendation. Kate, I'd never thought of that before because it's always been an unpeeled apple that goes into an apple pie, but why? And after I took a bite of your best apple pie recipe last night, I figured I'll probably never peel an apple again.
Well, you know, I thought, you know, I eat apples with peels on them. Why would I be peeling them for to go into the pie? Now, that being said, there are several apples that I do peel because they may have a bit of a tougher crust. And those would be a Granny Smith, mm-hmm. And also the new Cosmic Crisps, which if you haven't tried one, if you can get a hold of one of those, they're just delicious. But they do have just a bit of a little of a peel that you might want to peel those. Otherwise, I just let them in there. But if you want to peel your apples, be my guest. It's whatever works for you.
The apple filling that I used for the best old-fashioned apple pie recipe also included an apple cider vinegar, an apple liqueur, sugar, cinnamon. It was two scrapes of a nutmeg and a little bit of allspice. And that really, well, you mix it up with a little bit of flour, and that's your filling.
That's it. You know, I truly believe that the simpler we can make things, the better. The most important flavor that we need, though, is what I call pie-worthy fruit. If your fruit has no flavor, your pie, your filling, will have very little flavor. Also, you may end up just tasting sugar and spices and not that delicious apple.
Mm. Well, let's go to Martha Menominee this afternoon. Martha, tell us a little bit about your pie-making experiences.
You know, I'm like Kate. I've been making them all my life. Never bought a store crust, but, you know, always made my own. And I'm wondering if this is about apple pie now. We're coming into that season. Mm-hmm. Maybe Kate can help me with a problem that's plagued me all these years. My top crust on my apple pies does not follow the sinking of the apples as they cook. So every time I take my apple pie out of the oven, the top crust, which I've done vented, non-vented, crimped, I've tried every kind, it always has a big air space between the apples and the top crust. And when Kate said pie is love, I thought she had read that murder mystery, Lie Down with Dogs, where the heroine says, quote, pie is love. So I had to call. It's one of my favorite books. And so
Martha,
I had to call.
Martha, I need to know what that book is because I haven't read that. But I, you know, what you're talking about is the Grand Canyon, the apple pie, and there are a couple things that I can suggest that you might try. So one of them is to put all the ingredients, mix up all the ingredients for your filling, and then place all of that into a braising pan or something, and then turn your heat on to medium low and let your filling start to cook down until you can just start to get a fork easily into it. You know, not so it's like, oh, it's mush, but so it's partially cooked. Then let it cool completely. Put it into a nice chilled pie crust, your dough, and then top it off. Your apples ideally will have already done their slump. Now, another thing that we can do is to actually not fill the pie pan so high that we have the big mounded one, but maybe slice them into smaller sizes and then layer them in there. Either way, I think you'll have some success. And I would love to know how that goes for you, Martha.
By the way, I'm not the only one that can try our guest Kate McDermott's best old-fashioned apple pie recipe. You can find that recipe online right now at WPR.org/Food Friday. Try it out and let us know how you fare. Our conversation and the recipes continue for Food Friday with our guest, the author of The Art of the Pie and her latest book, Pie Camp, The Skills You Need to Make Any Pie You Want. Your pie stories as well at 1-800-642-1234. Your pie questions about crust, filling, what do you need to know to make it so sweet? We'll continue this conversation coming up on Central Time. Sweet Food Friday on Central Time. I'm Lee Rayburn in for Rob Ferret today, and our conversation continues with Kate McDermott, baker, teacher, author of the new book, Pie Camp, The Skills You Need to Make Any Pie You Want, and it is complete. Your questions as well about the perfect pie at 1-800-642-1234, where Doug from Colfax is standing by. Doug, what would you like to ask our guest, Kate?
Hi, I'm a pecan pie fan, and my wife is nice enough to make them for me sometimes. And we have bees, and so she substitutes half the sugar with honey. And I was wondering what your pie expert thought of that. Would that work for other pies?
Interesting.
And Doug, I you kind of broke up there. Did you say what kind of a pie was that?
Pecan.
Oh, pecan. Absolutely. Yes, you can.
Oh, we just lost our guest, Kate, so we will get her back momentarily. But I want to remind you that, as always, for Food Friday, we throw the recipes up online for you at WPR.org/Food Friday. And the other recipe that we have available for you this afternoon is the Nana Banana Cream Pie. It, according to Kate, is the best cream pie she's ever had. Now, what it is that makes that cream pie so special, maybe it starts with a crust, maybe the chantilly cream, or perhaps that luscious cream filling. And also, what does it have to do with bananas? As Kate mentioned, it's about the fruit and whether or not the fruit, the taste of the fruit dictates the taste of the pie. And you got to see the cover of her book, Pie Camp, because it's this fruit pie that looks like something you would never make, with lattice on top that's irregular. One's thick, one's thin, another one's woven. You get some braided on top there. And it's at the end of the day, it just looks sort of like a fun make-your-own sort of recipe, which is exactly what I did last night and what Kate McDermott's book, Pie Camp, encourages you to do. What we have available at 1-800-642-1234, The Art of Making Pie, The Science of the Crust and the Filling that Goes with It. You got to WPR.org/Food Friday for the recipes that we have for you this afternoon. Also in her book is this description of the sounds that pies make. You wouldn't think of listening for your pie to find out whether or not it's ready. But when a fruit pie is done, Kate McDermott says you hear the call of the sizzle wump. I have no idea what the sizzle wump is. Kate's back with us now. I'm grateful because you got to figure this out for me. What is the sizzle wump, Kate?
The sizzle wump is the sound a double crust pie makes when it is ready to come out of the oven. You get your ear right down close to the top of that top crust, and it makes a sizzling sound. And the bubbling of the filling underneath it will hit the inside of the upper crust, making a whomping noise. Some folks would perhaps call this the pie's heartbeat.
The pie's heartbeat.
You like that?
The sizzle womp. It makes it sound like it would be louder, but you really got to lean in to hear it, right?
Oh, you do. I remember I was in the kitchen once with a big, big apple pie, and I was kept hearing this, like, what is this? And I was I got my ear right down to the top of the pie. And somebody came in my kitchen and I said, what are you doing? I said, we're listening to the pie. And they said, well, what do you call that? And I said, a sizzle wump.
There you go, a sizzle wump. The heartbeat of the pie at 800-642-1234. The other recipe that we have on our website is the Nana Banana Cream Pie, which, according to Kate McDermott, the best cream pie you've ever had. And it begins with the crust, which is peanut butter cookies, Kate?
Yes, you can easily make a press in crust, cookie crumb crusters, so easy. Buzz them up in a food processor, or take a rolling pin, put the cookies in a plastic bag and roll them up until they're fine, and then put a little more sugar in there and some butter. Press that into a pie pan, and you're going to put it into the oven for just a little bake to set that. And then you let it cool, and you make a delicious, luscious pastry cream, and you put that into your little baked cookie crumb crust there. And then you put some sliced bananas on top, and if you're really feeling fancy, you sprinkle some sugar on top of that and take your blowtorch and give them a little color.
Nana banana cream pie up on our website at WPR.org/Food Friday. Let's go to Kay in Milwaukee now, who joins us with our guest Kate McDermott. Kay, good afternoon.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I'm really interested in savory pies. So you like the meat pies that you get in England and Australia, and haven't had much luck. So I don't know, is the crust different, and how do you make that gravy nice and?
I can help you there. So yes, it is different. I went to England and actually learned how to make a hand-raised pork pies from an award-winning baker there. And it does take a hot water crust, and you can find that recipe I've got in my first book of how to make traditional English pork pies. It is a hot water crust. It's a different technique. Or you can also do a search online for that. Doesn't have to be mine. And then your filling, the pork pies, of course, are pork. They're very simply seasoned. And to get that jelly around the pork pie, you actually take some bouillon and with gelatin in it, and you take like a turkey baster, and you put that in at the very last when the pie comes out of the oven. And apparently what I learned is that it is not a proper pork pie unless it has the jelly.
Well, you want it to be actually, you just want it to be tasty. We've got Roger in Grantsburg to follow up on Kay's call. Thank you, Kay. Roger, what do you have to add?
We just got fielded there with making a meat pies. My mom used to always made a meat pie and she'd saute up some chicken and turkey and whatever and vegetables and stuff in a brown gravy and dumped it in the pie and baked it and then whatever. And it's like I hadn't heard her say anything about meat pie till just before I called.
So, I think Roger, you are so right. There's nothing that you cannot put into that pie crust. I think, I often will say, what have you got in your fridge? What have you got around? And then if you want to make, that savory pie, whether it's chicken or your leftover vegetables or whatever, a humble pie is anything and everything, and it's all good.
I was fortunate in making your recipe for the best old-fashioned apple pie last night that I had the pie crust roller from the Friends of McFarland Public Library, who were around before there was a McFarland Public Library. They used to make hundreds of pies at once. And so I'm not judging here at all, Kate, but I do want to know, just for future reference, how do you prevent, when it comes to a pie, prevent a soggy bottom?
Oh, well, first of all, you want to make sure that you put a well-chilled pie into a hot oven. If you put a warm or a namby-pamby, I'm not really chilly crust into the oven, it's going to say, I'm at the beach, I'm going to relax now. But if you put a well-chilled pie into a hot oven, it says, and it holds its shape. But you want to also make sure that bottom of the pie gets onto a hot surface first. So you might want to preheat, when you're preheating your oven, put a sheet pan or a cookie tin down there so it gets hot, or even the pizza stone, and bake your pie on that low setting there, low in the oven with your high heat when you first put it in, and so that bottom crust can set.
And again, we've got the recipes at WPR.org/Food Friday. But I'd be remiss if I didn't mention there's a lot more apple pie recipes and fruit pie recipes and cream pie recipes and things that are beyond pie recipes in your new book, Pie Camp. And if you were to say there is a takeaway for making pie today, Kate McDermott, what would it be?
To be happy and make pie.
Kate McDermott, baker, teacher, and piecatrist, thank you so much for your time this afternoon.
Thank you so much. I hope to talk with you again and pie on.
Kate McDermott, baker and teacher, author of several books. We've been talking about her latest, Pie Camp, the skills you need to make any pie you want. You can find two of the recipes we talked about today for the best old-fashioned apple pie and that Nana Banana cream pie with a peanut butter cookie crumble crust on our website at WPR.org/Food Friday. And I thank you all for chiming in with pies this morning, and look forward to the report from our engineer on the best apple, a pretty good apple pie that I made last night.